If TEP powers your home, you can take advantage of planting a tree. Their discount shade tree program, while supplies are available, is going on now until May 31st. They have over 100,000 trees ranging from Arizona ash to Texas ebony, Arizona cypress, sweet acacia, live southern oak, Chinese elms and Chinese pistache, desert willows, mesquite trees, native mesquites, honey mesquites, palabreas. You would just go to TEP.com, sign into your account, and apply for the program. You can get up to 3 5-gallon shade trees for a discounted price of $5 each.
That's a good price.
And then they'll notify you via email when and where it's available to pick up. It'll be at one of the local nurseries, whether it's Harlow's, Renito's, Savano's, Native Gardens, or Eco Grow, all local nurseries to Tucson. That would be
great.
That'd be motivation to plant something.
Yeah, we were just down in Tucson at the tree climbing competition last Saturday. It was a lot of
fun.
That
was one of those times where we had a conflict of interest. We had already committed to being at the Tucson Book Festivals.
And we'll work on it for next year.
Two places at once. That's out at Reed Park.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful park.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great park. We were just surprised. Well, I shouldn't have been surprised that park is so overwhelmed with people. It's just a great place to hang out and had a good time there.
Well, and you've got the local zoo, and there's a golf course right next to it.
The zoo's right there.
Major attraction. Who won? Did you win?
No.
Did Danny win?
No, Merrill Martinez won the competition this year. And Andy Young was second, and Dan Stevens took third.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Dan and Andy, both previous winners of the tree climbing.
That's right.
Was this the winner's first time?
It was his first time winning, yeah. So he'll go on to represent Arizona at the Western Chapter ISA Tree Climbing Championship later this summer.
Do you know where that is?
You know, I don't. I don't know. Yeah, but it's coming up in the next month or two.
We'll have to find out where that is. The locations for those are always fun to see where they pick and go to.
Yeah, good luck to
We've got callers online that have lined up to talk to Mr. Eisenhower, and you can too at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You wanted to cover a little bit of insects. I know we had spider mites queued to talk about today.
Yeah, we just to give folks a heads up, you know, in all of our sales meetings at Integrity, we talk every week just about what are we seeing out there in the landscape. What are we heads up? But to all of our homeowners, be looking for spider mites. That you'll see a little bit of webbing on the leaves, and you'll start to see a little bit of discoloration of the foliage. These are signs that you have spider mites. Genista caterpillars are really a problem with our Texas mountain laurels. Whiteflies can get into the ficus trees. If you start seeing big clouds of these very, very small little white flying insects in your ficus, that's not a good sign. They can defoliate a tree pretty quickly. Also, just be on the lookout for these other aphids and other things that are starting to populate get into our landscapes in larger populations. These insects are often cosmetic. They don't really cause a lot of problems. And most of the time, they go through a typical life cycle, and then they when the hot weather arrives, they're not so much of an issue. So don't feel like you've got to go, get a chemical out and begin to spray everything that's alive out in your garden. Many of these are food for other insects and birds, and so just let them sometimes run their course. If there's some heavy populations where there's complete defoliation of plants, there might be a time where you might need to step in and have an chemical intervention. But we try to use the least toxic methods of control. For instance, on the Genista caterpillar, you can use BT. It's Bacillus thuringiensis, which is just a very harmless material. It's deadly to the caterpillars, but harmless to any other insects. So those are kind of treatments that are awesome because you're protecting the beneficials. We, of course, want to protect our honeybee populations. There's been all sorts of chemical applications over the decades that have started to decimate some of the bee populations around the country and around the world. And we're very careful not to be spraying when honeybees are feeding. So keep all those things in mind when you're using chemicals in your yards, to just be very, very conservative in the use of them and very careful to follow label instructions carefully for anything that you're applying.
That's the big kicker right there. Follow the instructions.
Absolutely.
They spend hundreds of millions of dollars to bring a product to market. It's got to go through countless amounts of testing and government programs. It's been tried, practiced. They've got testing sites. That application on there isn't made up. I mean, that is hundreds of thousands of hours of research, testing, application testing. Follow the directions, because it's very specific to work.
And quite often,
quantity.
Quite often, a little more of a good thing is not better.
No.
It actually can become not just toxic, but it can become bad for the plants that are you're applying it to. So really, really carefully. If you're trying to control an insect, you could end up killing plants with an over application of that same chemical.
Well, we can do a lot of things here at Rosie on the House, but we can't stop the clock. Dwayne, hang tight from Tucson. Let's talk about a red oak. You'll be first after the break, along with your calls at 1-888-767-4348. We've got some emails we want to cover, along with the rest of our March Talking Tree bullet points here at Rosie on the House with ISA-certified arborist John Eisenhower.